Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
And welcome into another episode of the Next Gen Podcast. I'm your host, Bryson Wright. And this week, we are joined by the host of Grizzly Spaces, one of the best Twitter accounts you can follow on Grizz Twitter, and one of my close friends on Grizz Twitter and in this Grizz family that we've kind of built together. If you're not on Twitter yet, or you have Twitter and you don't follow me and EJ, you definitely should. We're going to be hosting Grizzly Spaces after every game. EJ, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you allowing me on the space. I mean, on the podcast, man. Really excited that you're getting this all started. And shout out to the Grizzlies, Bears, Blues, and everything like that for allowing you to be on this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And shout out to the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network. Be sure to like and follow everybody on Twitter at SB Nation Grizzlies and the entire podcast network here at SB Nation Grizzlies as well. But before we get started talking about kind of preseason, which preseason is now only 9 days away, which it really seems like this offseason has really just flown by. But before we kind of get into that, we do have the yearly NBA rankings that come out. And although every year there's a lot of scrutiny around them, I'll stick with saying the good thing is 5 Grizzlies made the list right now. Where they are on the list is can be debated, but I don't think we've ever had 5 Grizzlies on the list. So I want to look at it like that first as the good side. We got Brandon Clark at 94. He wasn't ranked last year. Dylan Brooks moved up a spot last year. He was 78. This year, he moved up to 77. Desmond Bane debuts on the list at 68, which I think that's probably the most egregious one. He should definitely be higher than that, but he wasn't ranked last year. So it's definitely shown that he's getting at least a little bit more respect. We got Jaren Jackson Jr. moving up from 71 to 53. And then this morning, they came out with the last one with Ja, who moved up 22 spots from number 31 to number 9. EJ, what do you think about the rankings and all that kind of stuff?
I mean, it's great for our organization, for one, to have 5 names on the list. Very surprising. You kind of got a 6th man there in the top 100. So I think that's what stands out to me the most. Shout out to Brandon Clark, especially for that playoff performance, especially against the Timberwolves. One of the things that still stands out to me for him is the 7 rebounds in the fourth quarter. And I think it was maybe game 4 or 5 against the Timberwolves. So shout out Brandon Clark on getting on that list as a 6th man of this team. I mean, 5 Grizzlies, that's impressive. As far as like where they're ranked and stuff, it doesn't too much affect me as a fan. I just want these guys to get their endorsement deals, get their money and things like that. And I know these rankings kind of help that stuff out. So congratulations to all these guys and where they're ranked at. But as far as me and personally is trying to defend them as where they should be ranked, you're not going to catch me on there on the page too much arguing with others. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way because I definitely I like to see where, because it kind of shows you where the outside media is on these guys, which honestly, I was surprised that Ja was at 9. I didn't expect him to be at 9. I was expecting him to be probably around like 12, 13, just because based on how they used to do the rankings, they usually don't. I feel like they don't let guys jump up that quickly like in the past they have it. But, I mean, I'm all here for it. I'm all here for the Ja Morant top 10 player in the league agendas. I'm all here for it. And then, yeah, obviously Jaren and Desmond Bane probably should be a little bit higher. But I think just the fact that they have 5 players on the list, first time that's happened. I think Ja's the highest rank we've ever had. I think Marc Gasol was 10th one year. But I think Ja being 9th is the highest the Grizzlies have ever had. So that's something that's really interesting. And it's just like one of the things I talk about with this being kind of the next gen podcast and everything is kind of the next gen of the Grizzlies and how it seems like the respect is kind of getting there. So whereas in the past, a guy like Brandon Clark, who plays the 6th or 7th man for the Grizzlies, they would never even consider him for the top 100. That wouldn't even be a question. But now here we are in 2022. And he's ranked number 94. So I think that's probably the best takeaway I can take from it is just the overall respect. But yeah, moving on from that, because I don't want to spend too much time on that just because it's a little thing. Preseason and training camp is coming up. I know you're excited for training camp. I'm excited for training camp. What are some things you're looking for? I guess the first thing to talk about, who are you thinking is going to play in preseason? Because I know last year, everybody played probably like 2 or 3 games and they kind of spread it out. I don't know if they'll do the same thing this year with Ja just because I feel like he's at a different level of player than he was going into last season. But yeah, what are you thinking about who's going to play?
Yeah, man. I fully expect everybody to play, you know, games at least. Not to say every game, but they're going to play. And, you know, how many minutes and things like that, we'll see. But I do fully expect all these guys to be able to play. Usually, you know, you'll get your superstars that kind of rest or something like that. But I think Ja, just coming into preseason last year, he came in with the focus of, like, we're going to come out the gates. Like, this, we're not going to try into the season. We're going to sprint into the season. And that's kind of what they did, you know, they played the Bucks the very first preseason game last year, and that's who we got this season as well. And Ja had like 3 or 4 highlight dunks right out the gates in that game. So yeah, I fully expect everybody to play. Probably maybe Ja and Bane probably sit a game or two, but I'm definitely excited for it. And I think they'll come in with the same mindset again, trying to not really just prove something, but just coming out the gate sprinting and not coming in lackadaisical or anything like that. So, and then training camp too, man. Next week, I think training camp starts next week. So
yeah, training camp starts the 27th. So that's 5 days away from now, as we're recording this. So. The season is really here. But, yeah, I agree. I think everybody's going to play a little bit. I think we'll see a little bit. I think they kind of showed us what they like to do last season and then with the summer league, like what they did with Zaire, where Zaire would play one game and then he wouldn't play and then he would play, like, and kind of go back and forth. I think we'll probably see something like that with Ja and Bane. And then I think we're going to see a lot of reps for Zaire and we're going to see a lot of reps for the rookies. And I think that's those are probably the two things that I'm looking forward to the most going into the preseason, just to see some of the players that we probably aren't going to get to see as much in the regular season. One being, we got to talk about him because I feel like that's your guy, Kenneth Lofton Jr. What are you excited about coming from him in this preseason?
Oh man. You know, the one tweet from the, from draft night, everyone's going to pay. So I just expect him to come into training camp and this offseason with that same bully ball mindset. You know, that's kind of his brand. He actually sells that type brand and everything, bully ball. So and he says everyone's going to pay. I say everyone's going to pay. Even our own is going to pay. So he's definitely going to be putting in work during training camp. The Steven Adams, the – Brandon Clarks, the Santi Aldamas, all those guys, they're going to be matched up with them. And David Roddy's, all of them. So I hope they're all ready for them. And I like that, though. It's going to be homegrown. You know, it's going to be in-house. And I think these guys are going to get at it. But as you talk about the rookies for the preseason, though, you know, I love Kenneth Lofton Jr., but I also, you know, kind of have to peel back a little bit on, you know, other guys that we do have and everything like that. And, I mean, David Roddy, in my opinion, is probably coming into it right now, is probably the rookie that I think is most ready for some minutes. But that's solely just based off of what we've seen in the summer league and things like that. So that's number one. And then hopefully, you know, Jake LaRavia, he's definitely going to get plenty of opportunities to be able to stretch the floor. I think that's what we drafted him to be, a stretch shooter alongside Bane and Ja. He won't be a starter per se, but still he could be out there and stretch the floor easily. And he's also a very good distributor. So I think those two things from him is going to showcase in this, in the preseason. So looking forward to David Roddy and Jake LaRavia for sure this preseason.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to talk about them as well, just because I feel like all of these rookies are going to get a ton of minutes. Jake LaRavia, I know a lot of people were a little bit, they were a little concerned with his summer league performance. They feel like, but I feel like it wasn't necessarily that he was bad. He just didn't get enough opportunities maybe to shoot the ball. And I think he did still affect the game in other ways on defense. He had some steals. He had some blocks and stuff like that. And I think that just playing with Ja and then even playing with Tyus, just a pure point guard, he's going to get so many open looks with that second unit. So I'm not worried about him. I think if he's getting open looks, that's the one thing I'm not worried about is his shooting. We know that he can shoot the ball. He shot over 38% from three at Wake Forest his last season. So we know that he can shoot the ball. If you've seen his highlights, that's the one thing that I'm not worried about coming from him. So I think he'll figure that out. And then with David Roddy, I think that he just has so much potential, especially as he kind of – I feel like he's still kind of growing into his body and still kind of getting he's a little bit slimmer now than he was when they drafted him, which I think is going to help him, because I think he's going to have to play the three a lot, which maybe he was a little bit too big to play the three, I think, coming in. But I think now that he's kind of slimmed down and he's a little bit more toned, and I think it's going to help him athletically. It's going to help him with his foot speed. And I think that's going to be the big thing. And then on offense, that dude has a bag. Like, he's got a bag that he can get into. If you watched him at Colorado State and some of those highlights, you rarely see a 6'8 dude that'll hit you with the tween hezzy in the mid range. It's like you don't see that a lot. I was like, okay. So I'm excited for him. And then just to kind of round out the rookies too, Kennedy Chandler. I'm excited for Kennedy Chandler as well in preseason. And then kind of what you were talking about, training camp as well, because when they asked Ja, they said, which rookie are you most excited to cook? And he said, Kennedy Chandler. So it's like he's thinking the same way as iron sharpens iron, all that kind of stuff. I think that just him going against Ja going against him every day is going to help him, because even though Kennedy Chandler might not, he's not like an elite point guard or anything, that dude is quick. And he's not easy to stay in front of. He's not easy to defend. So if you can find a way to guard Kennedy Chandler off the dribble, I think that you can guard a lot of guys off the dribble, because that dude is one of the quickest dudes I've ever seen. That first step is insane. But, yeah, I'm very excited for Kennedy Chandler, Tennessee guy. I know EJ's not going to like that. We got a big game coming up this weekend. He's a Florida fan. But Tennessee guy, I got to watch him a lot last season. And was really impressed by the way that he kind of stood up in big games. And I think that's something that we're going to keep seeing this year. Probably not going to play a ton in the regular season along with Kenneth Lofton Jr. I think both of those guys are probably going to be on the hustle a lot during the regular season. They'll probably go back and forth. But I'm very excited to see what they're going to do in preseason. And I think that he's going to have success in preseason, especially on those games, like I said, when Ja isn't playing and he's going to get a lot more minutes, or maybe even Tyus isn't playing. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some all rookie lineups in the preseason too. Just throw it out there. So I'm very excited just to see the kind of stuff that they're going to be doing.
Man, the all rookie lineup. I mean, we did we drafted four and picked up an undrafted in Kenny Lofton. So it wouldn't be the most craziest lineup for a preseason game, that's for sure. But for Kennedy Chandler, for sure, you know, the things that I think he should work on or just get better at is you talked about like his speed and everything, but kind of just changing his pace though, like pacing himself in the NBA. You know, we talk about forming a mid-range or a floater or something like that. I think sometimes he gets moving a little too fast and it won't allow him to slow up for a floater or anything. So just learning how to probe and be a guard in the league, I think that's what he's going to be doing this preseason training camp and also throughout the season, whether it's with the hustle or, you know, just in practices and everything like that, and seeing some floor minutes with the Grizzlies if a Ja or a Tyus is out a game or so. Also with him so far, to me, he's on ball defense. And I think, you know, as he gets stronger and everything like that, he'll continue to be a very good on-ball defender. So that's where he's going to be able to get minutes this year if he were to be called up to the Grizzlies or, you know, over there, you know, kind of just going on road games and learning. So, yeah, defense is where he's going to make his bread and butter this season for sure. And causing turnovers and everything like that, especially losing DeAnthony Melton and Kyle Anderson. Those guys helped us lead the league in steals, blocks, along with Jaren Jackson Jr., and losing those two is going to be very key. So hopefully, I don't expect it right away or maybe even all this season, but hopefully Kennedy Chandler can help us out in that department of the steals and blocks.
Yeah, I think that he definitely can. Maybe not, like you said, maybe not this season, but watching him last year, he was really good at getting steals, especially on the ball, like you were talking about. So I think we'll definitely see more of that. And then kind of moving on from the rookies to some of the guys that were on the team last year, what returning Grizzly do you want to see the most from going into this preseason?
I think, you know, most would probably say Zaire, of course. Everybody knows the leap that he's going to be taking and shown already throughout the summer league and kind of just working. He ran some camps with kids all summer out in where he's from and everything out in California. So shout out to him, along with Bane and everybody else that's done a lot of community work this year. Yeah, I mean, this offseason. But yeah, Santi Aldama, man. I think Santi is, you know, being the number 30th pick in the 2021 draft, you know, kind of getting picked right where Bane was. He, you know, it's kind of bad for him in a way to be picked exactly where Bane was and the way that Bane. So, you know, some people are going to say, well, he didn't get the leap that Bane had. Well, you know, the Bane leap is a leap that we haven't seen before. So to expect that out of Santi Aldama is ludicrous in a way, but hopefully we see a big leap for sure. And I think he will step up big this year. We kind of have a hole to fill at the four, possibly, you know, how long Jaren is out. We still, you know, we still have our speculations here and there, how long he'll be out. But Santi will definitely be getting plenty of minutes while he is out. And even when he does come back, hopefully he can be able to help stretch the floor because he's a tall big, but, you know, he's not really a paint worker. But I do believe that that's his strength, though. I think he should work inside out. I think that's what they should key on in the training camp and in the preseason is work him inside out because that's where he's going to feel most comfortable. And you have to get him comfortable early because as we've seen, if he gets rattled early and not playing too well, it gets really bad. So just trying to get his confidence and everything down, that's what I'm looking forward to most out of the guys that we have on the roster already coming into next season.
Yeah, I like that with Santi Aldama for sure, because we saw what he can do last season at times. I think the two big games that I'll point to were the Thunder game, where he had the highest plus minus in NBA history, I think, which that game was kind of fluky just in general, but he had 18 and 10 in that game, I remember. And then the game at the end of the season against the Suns last year, where none of the Grizzly starters plus Tyus Jones didn't play, and they were starting De'Anthony Melton at point guard, and they still beat the team that ended up getting the one seed about 2 weeks before the playoffs. And I think those are probably his two best games. And then, like you said, he has to work inside out. I think we saw that in the summer league when he tried to go to the outside to start and tried to shoot threes. He had a really bad game in one of those summer league games, and it was like, wow, this dude was a first round pick. And then the very next game he had a 30-point double double. So it's one of those things where I think you're gonna have to get him established early, get him the ball inside, like you said. And I think that he's going to have to contribute this year at least a little bit when Jaren's not. It's until Jaren gets back, which, like you said, Jaren, I don't know. It's really hard. It's really hard with him because I could see him coming back before Thanksgiving, and I could also see him coming back mid-December. It's like it's not really clear just because of the timeline. But regardless, we know he's not going to play in preseason. So, in preseason, I want them to put Santi Aldama in the situations they're expecting him to be for at least the first couple weeks of the regular season, whether that is playing the four instead of the five. Like, I think he's used to playing the five mostly, so maybe getting him used to playing the four a little bit more. I know they played him a little bit with Xavier Tillman in the summer league as well, I think kind of to prepare him for that. But, yeah, very excited for Santi Aldama. I would have gone with Zaire, but I'm going to go with John Conchar. I need to see how John Conchar is going to look this season, because he is going to be a big part of this team, because we talked about it a little bit. De'Anthony Melton is gone. We're going to need somebody who can step into that role. And based on what we've seen, it's looking like they're expecting John Conchar to do that. And the thing about John Conchar is he's a really good shooter. His defense isn't necessarily up to par. I think that's the one thing, but he's not a horrible defender. He's not as good of a defender as De'Anthony, but I don't think he's a completely horrible defender. And I think that's going to be the thing that he needs to focus on. And that's what I really want to see, is how is he going to look defensively in the seventh man spot, just because he's going to play so many more minutes than he did last year. And he's probably going to have to play minutes in the postseason this year too. Compared to his last season, I don't think he had any relevant minutes in the postseason besides maybe some garbage time minutes in some blowout games. So I think it's going to be really important to see what he does. I would like to see him work on his defense and then his shooting from outside of the corner. The corner threes are awesome. I want to see if he can hit those above the break threes as well, maybe some shots from the elbow, and then maybe a little bit more off the dribble game a little bit. I mean, he's not going to be needing to do that often, but like just to show that you can do it if they're selling out on a closeout, that you can at least attack a closeout, whether it's to score or whether it's just to get another kick out to somebody else, just a little bit more of like how he looks in the flow of the offense. But I think he's going to be a big part of this season, and I think for the preseason, he's one of the guys that I'm looking for to just look a lot better than he did last season.
Yeah, and shout out to Jitty, man, for the Nike contract that he just got, footwear and apparel. So I can't wait for some Dunk Shot ones or some Jitty ones, something to come out.
Yeah, we need that. We need that for
some
sure.
Gear or anything like that. But yeah, man, Conchar, he's a pretty good shooter. If you look at the percentages, you'll be like, eh. But I think he just had a really, really bad stretch at one point during the season, and then it kind of fired back up in a way for his 3-point shooting. So I think he'll be all right in that department. I think the key to Conchar in a way is there were some times where we would have to rely on maybe a Bane or a Melton to run the offense a little bit. Like Tyus may have been out, or they'll have Tyus even off ball a little bit. So I'm looking for Conchar to be a ball handler a little bit too. Last summer in the summer league, when Bane and him were playing, he handled a lot of the ball handling role as well. A lot of people remember Bane doing it, but also remember John Conchar doing it, and he did it a couple of times last year as well for us. Late in games, if it was a blowout or anything like that. So I think he's gonna have some ball handling and some playmaking roles this year, and I think he'll showcase that in the preseason as well. And I think he'll actually have a lot of on-ball duty in the preseason, especially if Ja or Bane is not playing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And then I know I did mention Zaire for a second, but I think we do need to go ahead and talk about him a little bit. Just based on what I saw in Summer League, I really want to see him focus on getting to the mid-range during the preseason, just because I feel like if you can do it when there's no pressure on you, it makes it easier later in the season and later into the postseason. So I want to see him do a lot more of that off the dribble stuff that he did in the Summer League, a lot more in the mid-range and stuff like that. And it's going to be interesting. He might start. Do you think Zaire Williams is going to start at the beginning of the season? Because that's kind of what I'm looking at. I do want to before we get done, I do want to give like our predictions for the starting five without Jaren, and then also the starting five and maybe the rotation when Jaren comes back, kind of before we close. But I think that he's probably going to end up starting at the beginning of the season, just because I don't know if they have anybody else that can play the four. He's probably going to end up playing the three, and I think they might play Dylan at the four to start the season. So I don't know. What are you thinking about that, EJ?
Yeah, man. We chopped it up on a space earlier in the off season, kind of talking about it on the four position. It's been the talk of the off season around everywhere. And I think Mr. Sane with y'all, he actually wrote about Dylan kind of starting and playing the four and Zaire playing the three. So and I want to shout out Vontae. I think his Twitter ad is O Vontae. He actually was the first one to kind of bring it to my attention in this space. That we probably should look at Ja, Bane, Zaire, Dylan, and Steven Adams. And Dylan to play the four position. We seen it against the Timberwolves in the playoffs. He played against Cat a few times down the stretch, and he played very well against Cat. So I feel confident that Dylan Brooks can fill in that role. Now, how long in the games that he can hold up at the four, we'll see. But I mean, you got your Zions and your Giannis and guys like that at the power forward position. You don't want him to be guarding guys like that. But we'll see how it goes with Jaren out. But Zaire. Yeah, I think Zaire will start the season, like you said, at the three. And really, I just think the ball handling role that he took on this summer, I think more than anything, not it wasn't to really make him a playmaker and as you say, as a mid-range shooter, but really just getting him comfortable and finding spots on the floor. Getting to his spots on the floor comfortably. Hey, let me like you said with Dave Girardi, the tween dribble, things like that. Like what kind of combo do I need to get to so I can get to my shooting spot and my sweet spots? So I think that's gonna help him, and I think it's gonna carry on in the season. That you're gonna see a lot of hot spots for Zaire Williams. And if you start looking at his shot chart, you're going to start discovering a lot of things with him this year, and it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, his shot chart is going to look a lot different this year than it did last season. Last year, it was mostly catch and shoot threes, a lot of them in the corner, which he was automatic from the corner. And then just throughout the season, he got better and better as a three-point catch and shoot player, which he's definitely going to still do a lot of that this year, playing next to Ja. And then saying whenever Jaren comes back, if he's moved out of the starting lineup and back to the bench, even playing with Tyus Jones. I think it's just when you think about when your two-point guards that you are going to be playing with are Ja Morant and Tyus Jones, it just opens up the entire floor. So I think whether he starts or comes off the bench, he's going to have so many opportunities to just be great because they're not going to be worried about him a lot of the time. They're going to be worried more about Ja, Bane, and then Jaren when he comes back. So if you throw a lineup with Ja, Bane, Jaren, Zaire, and Steven Adams out there, I mean, we saw it last year as a starting lineup. It's one of those things where Zaire kind of gets forgotten about, but if he takes the jump that I think he's capable of taking this year, it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary out here. So
there's one more guy that's going to really, really help out Zaire if he is in that starting lineup, and he helps out everybody on the floor, and he doesn't get the credit around the league. We give him the credit here in the fan base, but around the league, he doesn't get the credit, and that is Steven Adams, man. That guy will open up a ocean for anybody on the floor, whether it's Bane, setting up for a catch and shoot three, or even running off a back screen or anything like that. Steven Adams opens those up. So I think he's going to help out Zaire in a way as well, as long as we focus on running him off of Steven Adams screens or in the Steven Adams vicinity of the play.
Yes. Steven Adams definitely deserves a lot of credit. And when you look at just the jump that Ja made, because obviously Jonas Valanciunas is a great player, and I'll always have love for Jonas for the way he played for the Grizzlies. He played his heart out. But Steven Adams does more of kind of like the dirty work and doesn't necessarily command the ball as much as Jonas does. And I think that's what we saw. And I think that was the main reason why we saw jumps from Ja and Bane, because it went from, all right, we got to make sure Jonas gets his post-ups, which when he got his post-ups, he was great. So I'm not complaining about it. It's just a different style of player. But then Steven Adams is a better screener, a better offensive and defensive rebounder and stuff like that. And I think that really is what the Grizzlies needed more. And then I think you got to give him a lot of credit for Ja getting up to 27 a game and for Bane getting up to 18 a game last year. Because it wasn't just like the on-ball screens. It was also just him clearing out space in the paint on the Ja drives, whether it was just boxing somebody out so that they couldn't contest Ja on a layup, or whether it was getting an offensive rebound and kicking it out to Desmond Bane, which I'm like, I'll have to look at the stats to make sure, but I'm pretty sure Desmond Bane shot over 50% from three off of Steven Adams' kickouts. So it's one of those things where just having him on the floor and having somebody that's so consistent on the court at all times is just going to help the Grizzlies so much. And I think that's something that really does kind of get overlooked in that last series in the playoffs, is that Steven Adams didn't play. Not that I'm not saying that Steven Adams playing would have completely changed the outcome of the series, but I know that it makes the games at least a little bit more tougher, a little bit more difficult. So I'm excited for him this season. We'll see what happens. I'm pretty sure this is his last year on his deal, so we'll see what they kind of do after that. But regardless what they do after that, I'm very excited for what he's going to be doing for the team this year. And I think he might be the most underrated player on the Grizzlies just overall. You could maybe argue for Zaire, but I think it's Steven Adams, just because around the league, like you said, I don't think he gets as much credit as he deserves as the strongest player in the NBA. And then if you look at the advanced stats, the best offensive rebounder in the NBA too. And I think those are just two things that just, I mean, the Grizzlies had more possessions than other teams last year. A lot of times it wasn't even that they shot the ball way better than the team they were playing, but it's like you look up and you have 10 offensive rebounds and you force 17 turnovers and you've only turned the ball over 12 times. Well, now you've had 20 more possessions than the other team has. So even if you shoot the same percentage, that's why you saw some of those blowouts last year. So, yeah, I think Steven Adams is a big thing, a big part of the Grizzlies this season, big part of their success last season and going forward. So yeah, I'm excited for him this season as well. But before we go to the end, I do want to see. So we talked about the starting five. I think we have the same prediction for the starting five. Whenever Jaren is out, which I'd say Ja, Bane, Zaire, Dylan, and Steven Adams. Dylan at the four might be, it's probably going to be matchup based. Obviously, I don't think he's going to play the four if we're playing against the Bucks or if we're playing against the Lakers and they play Anthony Davis at the four. He's not going to play the four then. But when you look at a team like last year, like I'll go to the Timberwolves, they play Jared Vanderbilt a lot at the four. If it's Jared Vanderbilt, yeah, like throw Dylan at the four. I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem with that. And then if they are playing somebody that's like an Anthony Davis or a Giannis, that's going to be like when you have those guys, it's going to be difficult to guard them regardless. But I think that's where not having Jaren would hurt you a lot. Luckily, they don't play. I don't think they play any of those kind of like big power forwards at the beginning of the season. Maybe they'll have a little bit of trouble with like Franz Wagner on the Magic, but it's still like overall, I think they have a better team than the Magic. I don't think he's one of those guys that's going to like just come out and go crazy. And then you're going to see the Knicks with Julius Randle. I'd be fine with Dylan Brooks on Julius Randle. So there's a lot of teams where I think he can play the four. And then kind of on the bench, I think the first three guys off the bench, we know it's going to be Tyus. We know it's going to be Brandon Clark. And I think that third spot, well, I know in the regular season they might go 10 deep, so we can ask some more. But I think it'll be David Roddy and Jake LaRavia. Those are going to be the last two guys that are probably going to be in the every night rotation. And then we'll see what happens with maybe some of the other rookies. But those are the guys that I would look for as like the nine kind of core guys on the team.
Yeah, and John Conchar as well coming off that bench. As we already talked about. And really just to, if once Jaren does get back, I think, you know, the tricky question will be, do you start Zaire at three or do you start Dylan at the three? And do you start to move Dylan to the bench? So
I think that talk will be getting interesting depending on how things are looking, until Jaren comes up, you know? So, we had a big portion last year where Zaire did start at the three. We didn't have Dylan Brooks. And it was even a question brought up back then when Dylan came back. Did we bring him off the bench or do we start him? We started him right away. So that got erased pretty quickly. But I think this year it's going to be even more noise about that. And really it's just for the fact like Dylan is also going into a contract year. How does the Grizzlies see him? Do they see him as somebody they're going to try to keep and bring back for an extension, offering him an extension, or try to re-sign him straight up? So it's going to be a lot of questions around that once that time comes around. It's going to be very, very interesting, man. But as far as I think right now, I probably would go with Dylan. Just for the fact, you know, defensive prowess, veteran, things like that. And hopefully it's just he buys in this year. I think he needs to look deep inside as well and from the outside. Like, if I don't get this contract from the Grizzlies again, where is my next team? And also, what is my next role? And he has to show that. So he might have to show that he will accept the six-man role. So, like I said, it's going to be very, very interesting once Jaren does come back. But Ja, Bane, Jaren, and Steven Adams would definitely be in that starting lineup. The big question mark, how well is Zaire going to look up until that point? And what kind of role has Dylan Brooks bought into with this team? So, yeah, it's going to be some fun topics to talk about throughout the season.
Yeah, and then, yeah, with Zaire and Dylan, that's a tough decision because I think Dylan is a better player right now. Like, right now, if you just want to go best five, you got to put Dylan Brooks out there. But when you look at the way that he plays, I think that offensively, he would be better off the bench to kind of be like the number one option in a bench role. But defensively, they need him in the starting lineup. So just going from like a defense first mindset kind of that they had last year, I'm expecting Dylan Brooks is going to start. Not that Zaire is like a bad defender. I think Zaire has a lot of potential on the defensive end and is already a pretty solid defender. And when you look at the fact that he's still growing, 6'9", 6'10", long arms, he's got quick feet, like he can be a really good defender in this league. But Dylan is just a better defender right now, and I think that's what they're going to go with. Maybe if we were talking about in 2 or 3 years, I think it would be, it might be Zaire. But right now, I think it's going to be Dylan. And then, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the offseason. But regardless of if they keep him, I think that he's going to be a big part of this year. And then we can talk about next year, whenever next year happens. But just for this season, he's going to be really important for everything that the Grizzlies are trying to do in pursuit of trying to be contenders, trying to get that first championship in Memphis. But yeah, EJ, thank you for coming on. Before you go, just let the people know where they can find you, where they can follow you, and everything like that.
Yeah, man. At Spaces Grizzlies, that's the Grizzlies Spaces account I run off of. Shout out to you, Bryson, for even getting all that started for sure, and allowing me to kind of roll with it in your busy times. And also at EJ2K19. That's my personal account. I'm not on there too much. Just, you know, shout out to my Gators, though. You know, that's what I mainly talk about on there. Big rivalry this weekend with as
clear. But, yeah, y'all can find me there. And very excited for this new season. Expecting big things. Hopefully we can get a player or something come through the space and chop it up with us for a little while and come speak with the fans for a little bit. But expecting another crazy year. Hopefully we won't do too much. In our spaces, we don't do too much trolling. You know, I know a lot of spaces get really, really murky and ugly and toxic, but we keep it clean over here. And we just try to pump in some positivity into our players and our organization. So shout out to Zach Kleiman, shout out to Coach Taylor Jenkins in the front office, everything they're doing, Robert Pereira, and shout out to you, Bryson, and Mr. Parker going into his very first season as the site manager. This is going to be his first full season as site manager, so shout out to him as well.
Yep. Shout out Parker. Shout out the entire front office as well. I can't believe that you just did Florida propaganda on my podcast. I might have to take that part out. But me and EJ are gonna be talking a lot of trash this week. But like I said earlier, it's all love. Shout out to EJ. I couldn't have picked a better person to kind of take the spaces to the next level. I feel like just everything that you've done with the Spaces account and all that has just been awesome. And it's really just helped grow the community even more. And just to bigger than I ever thought when I first made a space randomly at 11 o'clock on October, last October, after I think the Trailblazers game when we got blown out. But yeah, just awesome with all of that stuff. And shout out to everybody that listened to the podcast today. Like I said, you can follow me on Twitter at BrysonWright3, and make sure that you're following the podcast network, listening to the other podcasts like Core 4, GBB Live, The Starting Five. The new Grizzly Bear Bets podcast is coming out this season too, so be sure to keep your eye out for all of that stuff. And yeah, we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you for listening.